Gary Niederhoff and Operations Manager Barbara Vance.
Thanks also to financial support from Rena Shulsky David and Sammy David, and to the William K. Bowes Jr. Foundation. Big Picture Science is produced at the SETI Institute, a nonprofit scientific and education organization whose scientists study the origin and nature of life. And a big thanks also to our listeners.
Your ears have been attuned to the skies, we hope, but also to our monthly look at critical thinking, Skeptic Check. This episode is Aliens, the Evidence. If you'd like to hear more Skeptic Check or other Big Picture Science episodes, well, you'll find them in our archive at bigpicturescience.org.
And if you're a listener who prefers to hear our show on over-the-air radio, because you might just tune in the aliens, check out the listing on our website of radio stations that carry the program. And if your local station is not on that list, well, consider letting them know you like the show.
Skeptic Check is brought to you thanks to a generous grant from the Trimberger Family Foundation. At the Trimberger Family Foundation, we hold that skepticism is a lamp that lights the way to truth. Trimberger.org.
Vroom, vroom! You're on the line! You rev the mill! And you get the light from the timer! You're off, burning rubber! Vroom, you watch the tack! You shift the box! Two vroom! Three vroom! You dump your shoe, and it's a 177 with an 851 ET.
I ask you, is this an automobile, or is this an automobile?
I bet this Dragula can wipe anything on the strip.
Hi, this is Butch Patrick. That's right, Eddie Munster, and when I'm in Detroit, I tune my Dragula into 89.3 FM, the station making waves, WHFR Dearborn.
I really gotta hand it to you, Grandpa. This is quite an attractive vehicle. Detroit could take a lesson from this design.
Welcome to Impact. This is Betty Daniels, and I want to thank you for joining us on this fourth Tuesday of November. During the program, I will share two previous week program recordings that reflect, in my opinion, what was Impact about this particular year of 2016, as well as an introduction into the Thanksgiving holidays. I hope you enjoy. We will first hear from Mike Bewick from the East Dearborn Downtown Development Authority. And then we will hear from one of the students from Henry Ford College. And now, here is Mike Bewick. This is Betty Daniels, and we have Mike Bewick from EDDA. And before we get into the I wanted to talk about ArtSpace, which is one of the new projects that EDDA is involved in. But before we get into that, Mike, why don't you kind of give the listening audience an overview of EDDA, who they are, what they are, and where, you know, how they come about.
We're the East Dearborn Downtown Development Authority, and the city of Dearborn has two downtown authorities, which is very rare in the state of Michigan. I don't even know if there are any others, but we have two, one in the west and one in the east, because Dearborn in the 20s was two different cities which merged in the late 20s.
Right.
So we have two downtowns.
Mm-hmm.
And we're there to help foster and create a positive atmosphere for businesses, for events, for shopping. And it's a long, slow process, but we're slowly turning things around. And not that it was, you know, everything was vacant and dead, mm-hmm. but we're there and we see a lot more activity coming in, and we're there to help fix up the place. We plant flowers in the spring. We plow the snow in the winter. So we do a lot of things, and we just help the neighbors and the business people and the residents and visitors get what they need to get done and help them out.
Okay. Now, are you similar to the Chamber of Commerce, or are you different? What's the distinction between your organization and the Chamber of Commerce?
Well, we work with the Chamber on a lot of things, mm-hmm. and the difference of the chamber is it's a paid membership.
Mm-hmm.
If you live or work or own property in the district, you're a member of the DDA.
Okay.
You don't even know it half the time. I go in there and we talk to business people. The new people, they don't know what it is or that they're part of it. And so we just tell them you're part of the district.
Okay, and
we're here to help.
Okay, and you're located where?
We're on 2 blocks west of Schaefer on Michigan Avenue. It's 13750, right across the street from the City Hall Park and the old City Hall, which is going to be the new ArtSpace project.
All right. Your telephone contact number is?
It's 313-943-3141.
Okay. All right. And now we'll get into the interview about ArtSpace and the different projects that you have going on. Okay. Okay, that's...
Hello, I'm Michael Intiman, wishing everybody a happy holidays.
This, I guess you would say a collaboration or this interaction between the two, the ArtSpace and EDDA.
Yes.
Is like about 3 years old now? Or?
Oh, no. We started looking in 2008. We first contacted them in 2009. So we're in 6 years now.
All right. Okay.
How time flies.
Yes. And I remember when I first spoke with you and Melissa. Is that Melissa Kenya?
Yes.
Okay. You were, they had not really submitted the bid for, they were just in the development phases of it, where ArtSpace and you had just gotten through your contractual things where you had signed and the two of you had a contractual arrangement where you were working to move forward.
Correct.
Okay. Yep. All right. Now, so as opposed to me trying to go back and do all that, where are you now with ArtSpace? Let's do that and we'll work backwards.
Right now we are in the construction phase.
Okay.
They are renovating the old City Hall into 53 apartment units and commercial space for studios, performing arts, workshops, classrooms, offices.
Mm-hmm. All right. And now I remember when I initially talked to you, there were some things about having to go through legislature that had to be approved before you could get to that construction phase. And what is the what's the timeline with all that?
Well, no, what it was is we were submitting a low-income housing tax credit.
Okay,
all right. That's what we were going through. That was a about a year process there. And we were approved on the very first try, which is very unusual.
Yes. Being a Michigander, I know all about
that. So it was one of those, yay, we got it, and then, oh, yay, we got it. Now we got a lot of work to do.
I say quick, fast, and in a hurry, right?
Yes.
All right. So now you're in the construction phase, and I do remember seeing, I thought I saw some announcements about people applying for the residential units or the business units. Which one?
We've just recently had two meetings, one for residential and one for the commercial space.
Okay.
And the residential space information will go online in about 2-3 weeks, and that will tell you what you need to do to apply for the residency.
Okay.
The applications won't be accepted until sometime in mid-October. We will announce that. But there's a whole laundry list of stuff you need to bring, pay stubs or income tax returns, or there's a whole bunch of stuff you'll need.
All right. To
find that. Well, it was a project. We explored the possibility of bringing ArtSpace to Dearborn with no fixed notions or any preconceived ideas of where it would be or even if it would work out here.
Okay.
Because ArtSpace only comes to a community if they're invited in.
That part I do know. I've done some research with ArtSpace, and I know that there is a whole almost a vesting process that you had to go through in order to do that. And I know that you worked with the city of Dearborn in doing all that. Am I correct with that?
Oh, yes. We're partners with them.
Okay. All right. Now, so we've got really two things on the table. We've got EDDA, which has its own different objectives and goals and missions. And then we have ArtSpace, which is one of the things that you're working with them. And you share similar goals. I guess that would be the best way to put it.
Well, we're partners.
Okay.
We're partners. They own the property, and we're helping them gear up to lease up and get the place running.
Okay. All right. Now, what in working with ArtSpace, what does that do for EDDA? How does that promote your agenda or the goals the objectives that you're trying to move for?
Well, the objective of the DDA is to revitalize and rehabilitate, if necessary, the downtown to make it animated and lively and make sure it's not getting desolate.
Okay. All right. And am I safe in saying that this is one of the largest projects that you've been involved in? Or
Oh, yes, myself,
okay.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. All right. And how does this particular partnership work towards the, I guess, your timetable of what you wanted to see and accomplish for the downtown area?
Well, City Hall, this when we brought ArtSpace in, we had no preconceived notions of where they would go or even if it would be a fit. We mm-hmm. had to go through a process mm-hmm. where we did interview meetings, two-day meetings with politicians, with artists, with finance people. And then we looked at buildings, over two dozen buildings in the complete city of Dearborn, not just East Dearborn.
Okay.
And after that, then they said, yes, that's possible, we could do it here. But then we had to do what we called an artist market survey.
Okay.
Sort of like, if they build it, will the artist move and come use
okay.
it?
Okay, all right, no, all
if
right.
If you build a nice place, nobody uses it.
Okay, all right, okay. So all after the survey, you were then moved forward to?
Yes, well, for lack of a better term, we passed the survey.
Okay, okay.
But what the survey accomplished with, and they do this survey over the course of 3 or 4 months.
All right.
And with the businesses, with individuals, just, mm-hmm. and they determine a size of a project that the area would support by the responses. And we had over 300 people said they'd be glad to move into the ArtSpace unit.
Okay.
So, and then that was financial, commercial properties and studio stuff and some for living purposes.
All right.
So the people who said they would live there was a little over 100.
And, all right.
And their rule of thumb is about a third of the applicants, because the process takes 5 to 7 years. Once you do a survey, it doesn't mean, you know, you're going to, I want to move now, but 5 years from now, I may be married, I may have kids, I may have a new job.
Okay.
So.
And hey, won the lottery.
I didn't check my ticket today, so. a little over 100, so it would have been about a third of it, so 35 to 40 units.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we were looking at buildings, because they didn't want to build a place with, you know, with over capacity or under capacity.
Right, right.
So the we started looking at buildings, and about 6 months into the selection process, and when we looked at buildings, we did not say, is it for sale? We just looked at buildings that
right,
were
right.
certain sizes. And, I mean, we looked at big boxes like the old Kroger's in East Dearborn.
Right, right.
And that would not be a fit. But we didn't preconceive what would work and what was not.
Okay.
And we had an open house, and we had photos of all the buildings. And a lady came in and was looking at, it was a senior citizen apartment complex that the mm-hmm. city owns. And she says, you're not going to kick the seniors out, are you? I says, no. We didn't want to, you know, prejudge anything.
Right,
but that
right.
was not going to be a fit.
Right,
but
right, it, right. One of the growing pains, right?
One of the learning curves, yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. So now, ArtSpace conducted this survey, or was this something that EDDA?
ArtSpace commissioned a company that specializes in that. We help by doing getting the word out. You go to this website and take this survey.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. So now that was almost like 5 years ago. Or
that happened in 2010 and 11.
All right. So. Okay. Then after completing that, what was the next amount? Okay. Now I'm backtracked. There was another question I had right in my mind. Go ahead. After that, getting that hurdle, then your next hurdle was what then?
Well, then we had to make a decision. Did we want to hire ArtSpace? Because
okay.
it's not something that's cheap. Our contract totaled about $750,000.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they were very helpful in a lot of things, and we did most of that was paid for with grants.
Okay.
The Ford Kresge Foundation gave us $150,000. The Ford Foundation gave us $150,000.
Mm-hmm.
National Endowment for the Arts gave us some money. We got some money from the Ford Fund here locally.
Right.
And so we just worked on grants. And, Seversol, now AK Steel, gave us some money to help complete this commitment. But we had to decide, you know, because once we signed that contract, you know, we're on the hook for the money.
Yes.
So we did a lot of discussions and research and applications, and
mm-hmm.
we signed the contract about 10 months after the survey was completed.
All right.
So that was right near the end of 2011.
All right. Now, I'm was the city doing their own research, their own studying to try to see if they wanted to be a part of this, or how did the city, when did the city come on board with all this?
Well, the city, the mayor, Mayor O'Reilly, is on our board, the DDA board.
Okay.
And he had visited some of their locations, and that's how the discussion started to all do
right.
this. Because
okay.
one of the things, and I've been to Minneapolis where they're based out of,
mm-hmm.
and seen some of their projects and what they've done to the area. Projects that were built normally in areas which were not the best neighborhoods,
mm-hmm.
conditions were bad. Sort of like downtown Detroit was a long time
right,
ago. It's coming
right,
back.
Right. Right. Hold on. Can you hold on just 1 second? I got a...
Hi, this is Peter Sagal, host of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. What do you get when you take a bunch of public radio nerds and shut them in a room with computer geeks? Well, in addition to some bizarrely socially awkward offspring, you get the Public Radio Player. It's a new iPhone app that streams hundreds of public radio stations, including this one, straight to your iPhone and iPod Touch. You can get more information at publicradioplayer.org.
Okay, this is Betty Daniels, and we're back with our interview with the EDDA and Mr. Bewick. Did that do it? Bewick?
Yes.
Okay.
Just call me Mike.
Mike, all right. Okay, and now we were talking about the mayor and how the city became a part of this project. If I'm understanding you correctly, he was more or less the one who initially went out and saw.
He made a contact with them, and then so they were in town to do some advising somewhere
mm-hmm.
in Detroit. I'm not sure what, and we convinced them to stop at our office on the way back to the airport.
Okay,
and we spent an hour with them discussing it. And
mm-hmm.
So then we sat and discussed more as our board and over the course of time, and we decided to bite the bullet and do it.
All right,
because what they do is East Dearborn, like a lot of places, this was right after the major recession there, 2007-08. And we were doing okay, but we had some vacancies, and we wanted to bring some vitality back to the east downtown. So one of the things that their first project was in, called the Northern Warehouse in St. Paul, Minnesota, actually. And it was built in a place that was pretty desolate. It was like a warehouse district with vacant warehouses. So they built it, and what happened was other businesses popped up, other apartment units dropped, investors built up, and it's now a very lively spot in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Right, right. I remember just seeing some of that, you know, the different things when the city of Dearborn made their radio or TV or YouTube presentation about that visit. So I like kind of
yeah, we did that. And if you look very, I was trying to not be on camera at all. It was the mayor's show, but I was up there. But there's one spot I'm in the background there, so I proved I actually was there.
Yes,
watch
yes.
that blur go behind the artist there. That's me.
Yes, and no, there was one time when you had your interview as well. All right, now, so is this now, we have Art Space, the city of Dearborn, and EDDA, are there other major partners?
Yes, well, our other major partner is the Dearborn Community Fund.
Okay.
And that is run by Emma Jean Woodyard,
mm-hmm.
and she does a lot with the city. She's connected to a lot of the art groups in town, and they are 501c3.
Mm-hmm.
And they were created to build or to fund the fund drive of the to build the Ford Community Performing Arts Center.
Okay.
And we've gone on to other things. They now have student projects where they create art, and they do a lot of summer activities and winter activities for young and old people revolving around the arts.
Okay. So, all right. Are they still very active in this ongoing project, or are they?
Yes. Emma Jean and I almost have on speed dial together, but right now she's in. We're working on homecoming, so I haven't bothered too much. So in 2 weeks. But we have meetings quite frequently. We're on the phone. We're working. I'm on her board also, which helps as the connection there too. So we do a lot of the grant writing because some of the grants you need a municipality. That would be us or the city. And sometimes you have to be a 501c3 and not a municipality.
Right.
And that would be Dearborn Community Fund. Sometimes
right.
it's the partners. Sometimes it's one or the other.
All right. Okay. I apologize for hopscotching around a little bit. Now, you did have two meetings, one with the residential
One for perspective, people who are interested in finding out how to move in or live in a the art space project.
And then another one with the commercial.
Correct.
All right. Can a person be both, in both, you know, be a resident as well as a business, or are they?
No, yeah, they'd be glad. Right now, the commercial space is still in, let's say, it's like a piece of clay. It's being molded. They're trying to determine how many studios they might want to be, how many office space.
Okay.
We have a partner in that at the American National Museum, and they are doing the programming of it.
Okay.
And they...
Okay. All right. Which was... you touched base, because I was just trying to take a note, the Arab American Museum. Are they going to be one of the partners, or are they one of your... Are they going to be one of the residents of the area, or are they one of your collaborative partners, or all of the above?
Both. All actually, they're going to create... lost forward here. There's business incubators.
All right. Okay. And so now, so then therefore, it's like something that started off as a seed. It's like it's just blossoming.
it's like something that starts slowly and grows, similar to we do concerts every on Wednesdays in the summer.
Yes, yes.
And ArtSpace loves that idea. We started our first year 7 years ago. We averaged a little over 100 people a concert.
Right, right.
We had one last night. We had over 3,200 people there.
And you know, and then that was some of the questions. Another one of the questions that came to my mind is that, you know, you have a jazz concert going, you know, during the summer, and I was wondering, and I wonder how much the ArtSpace complex will impact that. But it seems like the two of them are going to complement each other.
Well, in the other projects, the musicians, they come out and they have impromptu jam sessions, but that's not going to happen here during our concerts,
okay.
But they'll happen before or after, because we have the stage set up all summer, so they'll be doing other things, taking advantage of the stage that we've set correct.
Okay. Now, with all these different things happening, how is EDDA feeling about all this development and this growth that's going about?
Well, that's what we were hoping for, and we're seeing it come to light here.
Okay.
But... It's really exciting.
All right. When you met with the potential residents, did you sign people up, or were you just more or less interviewing them and letting them know what was available?
The meeting we just had recently was actually just an information session, because by mid-August, the application will be online.
All right.
And with what you need to do, you know, 2 years of income tax returns, you have proof of income, and there's a whole laundry list of stuff. The applications won't be accepted till mid-October, though.
Okay.
And at that point, it will be a first-come, first-served.
Okay.
In other places, they've had hundreds of people line up the night before the applications.
Okay. All right.
They had in New York, they did a school in Harlem.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's 100 units there now.
Mm-hmm.
They had 50,000 people apply for those.
Okay, I understand that.
And probably three-quarters of them won't be accepted on the first way because they're missing some information. They didn't fill the form out. So what happens is, say, you're in line, you're number 10, and all of a sudden you fill out your application, or you bring your application, and you turn in, and we go through it, or I don't go through it, but people, they'll go through it, and they'll just tell you, okay, you're missing this, this, and this, and you lose your number 10 spot. You go to the back of the line again.
Okay.
So that's why they give you a couple months to try. You can ask questions. What do I need?
All right. So what I'm going to ask you to do is, do you have that application, that online address? Do you have it on you?
Not yet. No, because it's not up yet. But it will be soon.
Okay. And what I'm going to do is, I'm going to get back with you so that when you do have it, I'll be able to. There are three impact shows. There's one on the 2nd, 4th, and 5th. Tuesdays. So once you get that information, then I will make sure that myself and the other host will make sure we continue to advertise.
And then you could also, in a couple of weeks, we'll have it at our office if you want to give us a call.
All right. Okay. Well, then what is that number?
That number is 313-943-3141.
All right. And should they ask for anybody in particular?
Well, there's only three of us in the office. There's myself and Kate and Karen.
All right. So now it was information. What more or less for the resident, the information was about what, you know, what they need to do, or what kind of documentation they should have in order to go through the application process. Was it a similar kind of informational type of thing doing it for the commercial?
No, the commercial was more of a fact finding, like what are you looking for? Are you looking for studios? Are you looking for teaching space, because they're still trying to formulate how it's going to be. They may end up with 6 studios or 12 studios. They're finding out the kind of demand that's out there for commercial space.
All right. So am I correct in understanding that based on what they gather from that information, that's going to impact how the infrastructure is going to look?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, they're doing construction right now, and they haven't, other than some demo, they haven't done much, hardly any construction in that portion of the building. Mm-hmm. They've been working on the residential.
Okay, all right. And our space, then, are the ones who are overseeing all of this particular construction and things like that. Is that correct?
Yes, it's their project.
All right, okay.
And they're using a local company and local architects to fund the project.
All right. Okay, now, then the next, I guess you would say, what would be the next milestone then for the art space complex as you see it?
Our first residents moving in. Well, actually, first we the application process and where they pick their units, because we have studios, 1-bedroom, 2-bedroom, and 3-bedrooms available.
All right.
And this is all based on low-income housing.
Okay. All right. What are, we talked about one of your largest projects. What are some of the other projects that EDDA has going on currently?
Right now, we have another large project that's just hitting the drawing boards. We're redeveloping or redoing all the parking lots in the East Downtown District. And what started out to be, we're just going to rip up the asphalt and put new stuff, has turned into a really possibly exciting project. We've had 2 days of meetings earlier this week from morning to late with our team, which is comprised of a lot of companies. We hired a firm out of Ann Arbor, and they have offices in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to do a lot of stuff that is environmentally sustainable, LED lighting, porous pavement.
Mm-hmm.
And the pavers they're using, or we're looking at using, is very low maintenance. There's no painting for stripes, because what they do is they use different colored pavers to make the lines.
Okay. All right.
And then it's turned into, from just doing the parking lots to maybe doing some additional businesses, residencies, public spaces.
All right.
So it's for seeing all this in the last two, three days, that's going to be exciting. And we sat together with over a dozen people from different companies. And to show you my knowledge as I learn, we hired this company, I got to know. And they brought in some other people. One was a gentleman, actually, he went to Cass Tech in Detroit.
Okay.
And his company, and another one who I'd heard speak on retail. And so I'm there and meeting him and talk to him. And Dave Norwood, who works at the city of Dearborn, and he's a sustainability coordinator in the mayor's office.
All right.
And he said, "Do you know who these guys are?" I said, "No, not really." He says, "This is the A-Team. These guys are internationally, nationally known. They've written books. They speak. They go to Atlanta, wherever. I mean, they're in high demand." I says, "Whoa." So I'm learning. We're getting – I wasn't doubting they weren't qualified. I just didn't know how qualified.
Okay.
And I've gotten to know them. They're very, very
all right. Okay.
Insightful. And one of the things that the retail guy said, he was very surprised in the studies he had done. Downtowns are scored on what's called a walkability factor.
Right.
And national retailers, whether it be Crate and Barrel or whoever, they like a score of 80 or above before they'll even think about locating in a downtown. They're not people that want to be in malls. They want to be in downtowns, urban areas.
Right.
And East Dearborn downtown had a walkability factor of 84. And he was very surprised. He said what was even more surprising to him was that from his studies and their interviews and tests, we could sustain another 125,000 square foot of retail and restaurants, and that just blew me away.
Okay.
He said it's all counterproductive, because when I started, I would have said no way.
Right.
And so that's what led to the parking lot project becoming more than just parking lots.
All right. Okay. Now, I do remember that, so I'm hearing all these different things. We've got the jazz. The
Jazz on the Avenue.
Jazz on the Avenue. That's why I had to get that correct. All right. That's the summer project. And then you've got the pavement project. You got anything like similar or comparable to that in the other parts of the year?
Well, right now we're still working on the art space. That's going to keep us going until at least this spring. The residential portion is set to be open by the first of the year, January of 2016. And the commercial later that year might take another 12 months or so. So we're working hard on that. Plus, we do things like we plant the flowers. We plow the snow in the winter.
Right.
We take care of the City Hall Park maintenance.
Okay. You know, as I'm thinking about all these different venues and different things that's going on, if you're having a $3,000 participant.
You mean 3,000 people?
People. Okay.
$3,000 if they all gave me a buck.
Yes. My mind's kind of like blown with all this. I remember the jazz when it was like around about 300 and 400, and then we were really, that was really for the jazz people. Where are you putting all these people?
They fill that park. Last night it was wall-to-wall people, but we've lost some of the park area because of it's a construction zone, so it's a lot of it's fenced off that you can't get at.
Right.
So I can conceivably put another 2,000 people in that place. Of course, there's not a whole, we did have one complaint last night. The guy was complaining he found it too hard to walk through the crowd. I said, well, you can walk around the crowd. And we get calls every week. How much is it? And I said, it's free. Oh, what do you charge to park? Oh, it's free?
Yeah.
So everything's free? I said, well, if you buy some food from one of the vendors, you have to pay for that. But other than that, everything is free.
Right.
And people come out and they start showing up at 4:30 for the 7 o'clock shows.
I know. I used to have a jazz program, and my program ran from 4 to 6, and I was kind of getting antsy because I said, wait a minute, the park is getting filled. and I heard it had a certain spot that was the best spot for me.
Yeah, last week we had over 200 people there at 4:45.
See, that's the other great part about that. There's so much going on, the restaurants and all these other kinds of things that whole ambiance or whatever word you want to use for it. It's so great that getting there that early, you're still not just sitting there, on a piece of concrete. There's different kinds of things going on.
Well, it's contagious because we've had new businesses coming in. Mm-hmm. We just had a business called Baba's just opened up right across the street from the park, and they took over a building and gutted it and fixed it up. Mm-hmm. Two doors from them is going to be another Middle Eastern restaurant. They took an old, what used to be a clock for the people who were old enough to know how. Then it was Thai Palace. They gutted that, and they're putting that together. Mm-hmm. And about a block and a half away is a young Dearborn guy. Mm-hmm. He was born and raised here and went to Fortson. Right. And I'm meeting with him later, but it's either Good Burger or Famous Burger. Not sure, but we're working. He's got deco interior. It's the old Zeri furniture next to Bamboozles across from Habib's. We've got a lot of new construction, renovation, and new businesses moving in the area all the time.
All right. Now, is everything going up and down Michigan, or is it going down Schaefer as well?
Right now, most of it's along Michigan Avenue, but Schaefer, it'll spread.
That's what I'm thinking. Okay. So it's a win-win for everybody. Is that it?
Yes. Matter of fact, along Schaefer, I was talking with the north of the Schaefer building along is a strip we call the 50-50 strip, and that's where the 50-50 dental clinic is. It's Midwestern Dental Clinic. Their address is 50-50. That's why we call it that. There's O'Reilly's auto parts store, and there's a Comcast and a Cablevision. Comcast is, I'm sorry, Secretary of State. And the owner of that strip turned last December it back to the receiver.
Okay.
And so I was talking with the new real estate, and they're working on fixing it up to make it look nice. And my guess is, whoever took it back is a financial institution. They don't want to own the real estate. That's not what they're in business.
Right.
But they'll fix it up, and then they'll, for lack of a better term, flip it.
Right.
But so they're going to be putting some money into that building, that long strip of.
Okay. All right. Well, now since we talked about the jazz on the avenue. Did I do that correctly?
Yes, you did.
Okay. All right. What sort of some of the upcoming events that we're coming on with that?
You mean who are we having?
Yes.
Okay.
Before we go into all that, you were mentioning vendors with that. How many vendors do you have, and what type of vendors are there?
Well, right now, I didn't expand anything. We have like four restaurants, but they're local restaurants. Mm-hmm. Joe's Top Dog, Baba's, Alchemo Subs.
Okay.
And we have one T-shirt vendor who we've worked with for like 10 years now. Right, so they're out of Detroit.
Okay.
They're the only ones who are not in the district, but they've been working in the district for a long, long time.
All right.
But I get calls all the time. They'd like to bring a food truck. And I says, well, right now I don't have the room. And second, we pay for these concerts with our sponsors, but also with our local restaurants, the vendors. They're the ones who are part of the DDA, and they've been with us
since
the DDA was created.
Okay.
But we may be expanding once the park is back open to full size again. But that probably won't happen next year because if the construction is still going on in the commercial space, it'll still be gated off in certain areas.
Okay. Well, I say, but that's still a problem that you enjoy having, right?
Well, I couldn't have envisioned this 7 years ago when I went to park and saw, okay, we got 80 people here. Okay, that's a start. Yeah, but and it just keeps growing.
Okay. All right. Now, I cut you off when you were telling me the up-and-coming people are going to be a part of the jazz venue. Who are going to be?
Well, we've got three shows left, and next week we have a group called 496 West. They are out of Lansing, and that hence the name 496, because if you go to Lansing, you take 96 and you do the cutoff 496.
So okay.
Sort of like 375 in Detroit.
I should know this.
And with them is going to be special guest Dee Brown. And August 5th is going to be Glenn and Charles Scales.
Okay.
They are out of Detroit.
Yes.
And on August 12th, we have Alexander Zonchek with the Motor City Horns and a special guest saxophonist, Alan Trotman.
All right.
And he's pretty well known nationally. Yes. And I'm learning. My learning curve also.
Yes, yeah. I say, well, hi. That's going to keep you young, right? Okay. Well, Mike, you know, I appreciate you, stopping by and giving me this information about our space and also about EDDA. And in closing, any things that you want the audience to be aware of, what you're doing and what's coming up with EDDA?
Well, one thing we do, and we help anybody, whether you're a business person or a resident or just a visitor of the area, if you need it, we're there to help with red tape with city government. We can't, give you a citation or we can't give you a certificate of occupancy, but we can direct you to the right people to do it so you don't have to go to 8 people to try and find who you have to do.
Okay.
We work closely with the city on that, and we're getting to be the neighbors and the business people. They're starting to look out for each other because we have problem like everybody else with legal dumping. They come up and they dump their trucks and their old furniture. And stuff.
Right.
So we're all looking out for each other, and that's a good neighbor policy.
Okay. All right, I'm going to pause right here. And what I want to do is I want us to first tell us a little more about EDDA, because we were kind of doing a conversation, and I didn't really give you an opportunity to give the reconnected
events for SHOP on Michigan Avenue. It's 13750, right across the street from the City Hall Park and the old City Hall, which is going to be the new Art Space Project.
All right. And your telephone contact number is?
It's 313-943-3141.
Okay. Henry Ford College has a student nursing association that works outside in the community, sharing their talent, skill, and time with people and organizations that are doing things for others in the community. Here we will hear an interview with one of the past chairmen of this organization as he describes some of the things that they do in the community. Bit of a disadvantage because I don't know that much about nursing.
You don't know that much about nursing in general? To help out in the communities around Dearborn and around the Metro Detroit area.
Okay, you sound like you're very busy and stuff. All right, and so you got the Detroit Rescue Mission. What was the other organization that you worked with?
The Friendship House.
Okay. Now, go ahead.
I work with the Muscular Dystrophy Association. We do their walks.
Oh, all right.
We do the Light the Night Walk in Wyandotte every year.
Who coordinates all this activity that you're doing?
So basically what we have is a board. The board consists of a president, a vice president, four activity coordinators. We also have a membership coordinator. We also have a photographer, and we also have a newspaper editor and Rachel, which is she's our I like lost the name of what she does. Treasurer, I'm sorry.
Okay, now when you say newspaper editor, what does the association have its own newspaper or what?
Yeah, we released two newspapers basically about, it's not really a newspaper, it's more like 6 or 7 pages. It is, you know, it's like articles.
Okay.
What we've done and where we're going and activities coming up and meetings coming up. So, you know, we keep it very organized since we're separate from the school.
Okay.
We try to get the school involved as well. So we actually come and do blood pressure checks, vital sign checks, you know, all that, and the welcome back days for Henry Ford.
All right.
We also do the, did I already tell you, the Relay for Life walk?
Right.
We did the pancreatic cancer walk. We did the breast cancer walk. We do the lymphoma and leukemia walk.
Okay. Now, how many is in the Student Nursing Association? Is that the official name, Student Nursing Association?
Yeah, it's the Student Nursing Association. And we have actually one of the larger groups in Metro Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
We have, you know, anywhere between 120 to 140
You would need
members.
For all that you're talking about, you'd have to have that and more. Now, when you say you're not affiliated with Henry Ford, what school are is it just students?
No, we are affiliated with Henry Ford Community College.
Mm-hmm.
But because we're a separate campus, it's hard to be.
Okay. All right. Okay. What campus are you up from then? The camp?
We're on the campus on Rotunda.
Oh, okay.
And Rotunda and Evergreen, I believe.
Okay.
I don't live in Dearborn, so.
All right.
A lot of people laugh at me like, you're not from Dearborn?
Okay. All right. Now, all right, so all of these events and things, like I said, you've got a full calendar. You got the coordinators, activity coordinators and things like that. How do the students go about trying? Do they just sign up or just, you know, what kind of commitment is involved in all this?
So with the students, they're committed when they sign up for the Nursing Association, which they can be paid active members or non-paid active members.
Okay.
We don't force anybody to pay $10 fee to become a paid active member because we want to have it open to everybody, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So what we do is we have at least one meeting every month throughout the semester.
Okay.
In which it's usually on Monday from 11 to 12. And the president, which I usually go up there and I'd have a PowerPoint of all the activities, the times, the dates, available slots for students to sign up for it. By the end of the meeting, we have a room where they can go in and sign up for which activities they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have our activity coordinators, which basically put all the activities and all the sign-up sheets and everything and emails it to all the officers, where we have at least, you know, 1 to 2 officers present at every meeting. Every event, I'm sorry.
Okay, now when you say activity coordinators, is that the student or are those faculty people?
Those are the board members. They're students.
Okay. All right, so when the board is made up of student nurses as well, is that
correct?
Okay. All right. So it's not.
We do have faculty advisors that are very active. Kathy Gangrosa.
Okay.
And Peggy Kearney.
All right. Now, Kathy, spell her last name for me, please.
Oh, I don't want to slaughter it.
Would Peggy
really come back at me?
Would Peggy know how to spell it? Would she be?
Yeah, Peggy would know how to spell
it. Okay. All right. So you got Kathy, and who else is?
Peggy Kearney.
Say the first name again.
Kearney.
Is that the first name?
Yes.
Or the... Oh, okay.
No, her first name is Peggy.
Peggy. Okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah, and I can actually get you Gangrosa's last name.
Okay. All right. Okay. Now, all right. So for monthly meetings, you got an awful lot of activities that you do. How do you keep track of all this stuff?
You have to have a really strong board.
Mm-hmm.
We communicate a lot through email, phone call, text message. If somebody can't be at an event,
mm-hmm.
we call each other and find somebody to cover or help, you know, take that spot.
All right.
What we do is we'll offer, like, in the meeting, we'll inform the students that we'll have, like, maybe 4 or 5 events
mm-hmm.
for that month, and we'll also tell them the events that we have planned for the following month so they can have a heads up on what to expect the month after that.
Okay. All right. And so now how long have you been the president?
I ran for board my first semester, which everybody was like, you're crazy. And I got elected my first semester, and I took over second semester when the president that was preceding me graduated.
Oh, all right. And so what year are you now? Where
I am graduating this May.
Okay. All right. So the presidencies are running right now. How long is the nursing program?
I'm sorry. I didn't hear you.
How long is the nursing program?
It's 2 years.
2 years. All right. So it's the actual 2 years. It's not 2 years meaning three or 3 years meaning.
No, it's actual 2 years. It's four semesters.
Okay. All right. And then in order to be a part of the association, you must be a student, a nurse. I mean, in the nursing.
You must be a nursing student. Yes.
Okay. All right.
We usually have some activities where they're allowed to bring their families. For all the walks, we encourage them to bring their families.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a day to spend with their families because we're all so busy. You know, so we have events where they're allowed to bring their families. For example, we did a fundraiser at Zap Zone.
A fundraiser at what now? What was that now?
We did a fundraiser at Zap Zone in Taylor.
Okay.
It was $20 for unlimited laser tag, golf, and bumper cars. So a lot of people came and had their families there. It was a good time.
Oh, like again, I'm saying this is really, you are very, very active, very much involved. Where do you have time for your studies and all that kind of stuff?
You know what? Honestly, it's time management. I learned how to manage time really good. I learned how not to overwhelm myself. Even if there was times that I'm overwhelmed, I've always had a good board that backs me up.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like to do it. I'm an active person. You know, I don't want to be just another, you know, student that just there to take the classes and get out the program. I've always been active. I was president of like student council in seventh grade through high school.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I just like to do a lot of activities. I want to help people as much as I can.
Mm-hmm. All right, now all these I'm still flabbergasted with all these different activities. Can you tell me some of the things that, you know, in these different activities that you go to, what are some of the feedback that you get from the people that you that you work with?
Everybody that we've went to, for example, I'm sorry, we do this thing called Coin Wars, where each semester we have one student volunteer to collect any change that students might have, put in the jar.
Mm-hmm.
For each class, we'll have one person collecting coins, and at the end of the semester, we'll tally up who had the most. Last semester, we came up with about almost $2,000, which usually in the winter semester, we take to, we go to Toys R Us, and we'll buy Christmas, you know, toys for kids at, you know, at Children's Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Called Toys for Tots.
Mm-hmm.
So last semester, for example, we did that, and we had about $2,000 to spend on toys. The SNA actually uses a lot of their funds, their own funds, to match, you know, either match or get us to a certain, you know, amount.
Okay.
So we do a lot of bake sales. We have usually sometimes one or two bake sales each month to bring in funds to the SNA.
All right. On the average, about how many people participate in these different, you know, the Rescue Michigan, all this stuff? How many people, students, do you have participating in these particular activities?
We'll have at least 8 students,
mm-hmm.
not including officers, but mm-hmm. there's been as many as 35, 40.
Okay. All right. What have been some of the anecdotal stories that or things that you could share about these different the different things that you've been involved with?
Sorry?
What are some of the, you know, can I say stories that you remember or certain things, experiences that some of your nursing students have shared about being involved with some of these things?
Oh, a lot of the nursing students, especially when it comes down to like the cancer walks,
mm-hmm.
a lot of them do it because they have family members that have these illnesses. They have family members they can relate to. So when we present at the meeting that we're doing this walk or this walk, a lot of students are grateful that we're making it aware
mm-hmm.
for the SNA, and they're really happy and they're involved in it, and they just thank us a lot because we're actually, you know, helping them, because we usually raise about at minimum $500
okay.
for each walk we go to.
All right. Does your involvement in these different activities also have a carryover into your professional career?
Yeah, because the whole purpose of the SNA is to let students know that once they become nurses, there are a lot of organizations they can join and be involved in,
mm-hmm.
keep, you know, being active in the communities. And it's really, really good for them to be active as nurses. That's what the whole nursing field, nursing career is about, is helping the community, being, you know, community-based.
So, all right. So then let's see if I'm understanding you correctly. Then based on your training and skills that you're more or less using in addition to reaching out to the community, you're also using the skills and things that you're learning in your education. Is that am I understanding you correctly?
That's correct, yeah, okay. Because we do a lot of blood pressure checks. For example, we're going to St. John's on the 26th mm-hmm. for the Healthy Heart Fair.
Okay.
Where they want students to come and help, because it's going to be a free event, a free health fair.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can come in and get their blood pressure checks, have EKGs done,
mm-hmm.
you know, heart monitor, all that. And they actually, we have about six students going the 26th from 6:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m.
Okay. 6:30 in the morning until
12. A lot of activities. They can range from anywhere from like 6:30 in the morning to as late as almost 9, 10 o'clock at night.
Okay.
So there's a wide variety. We try to make it to where everybody with whatever schedule can have a chance to do something.
All right. Let me ask you this. Now, with these different activities, are there different chairpersons, or there's a different coordinator for each activity, or how is the work? You know, these the assignments distributed within the organization. I know you said the board kind of spearhead, or I guess you say leads it, but that's still an awful lot of work.
It is a lot of work, and you know, the thing is, we all come up with the idea. You know, it doesn't just have to be. Anybody on the board can come and say, hey, there's this walk. Or Harry, there's this event that would be really cool. We'll bring it to the board and we'll all talk about it. And if we like it and we think it's going to work, we present it to the students. Students are more than welcome to also bring in activities or walks or anything that they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we take it into consideration as well. There's, for example, there was Dinner for Johnny. I don't know if you heard of that.
Nope.
It's a kid that has cancer.
Okay.
Basically, they needed money to help pay for his medical bills, and mm-hmm. It was $10 to attend the dinner,
mm-hmm.
and I think we had at least 35 students go.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, at the dinner, they were collecting money by doing a lot of, you know, raffles and a lot of activities. I think they ended up raising a lot of money. I'm not sure about the amount, but I think it's way more than $5,000.
Okay. All right. Now, this was something that was not necessarily put on by you, but it was supported by your organization. Is that correct?
It was actually Michelle Featherstein. Was the one that organized it.
And she is.
And she reached out to us. Michelle Featherstein is, she works at Henry Ford Community College main campus. And
mm-hmm.
I think she runs Phi Theta Kappa.
Okay.
And she also, you know, oversees all the student club activities.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Okay. And so she reached out to your, it sounds like you have one of the largest memberships of the different students, you know, one of the larger memberships, if not the largest of the student organizations. Am I right in assuming that, or you don't really know?
We actually went to a convention, the Michigan National Michigan Nursing Student Association.
Mm-hmm.
And at that convention, we actually won Student Nursing Association Club of the Year, which there was Madonna University, U of M, Flint Nursing, all the nursing programs that are basically have a student nursing association. We won the Student Club of the Year for everything we've done. We also won the fundraising award, and we also won the community service award.
At the same convention, or the different?
At the same convention, yeah, we won three of the.
Honor the peace that was meant.
To close out this week's program, I want to share a poem that we received from the Remember Me Quilt CEO, Sandy. And it's entitled, Remember Me. And I think that is a good message to leave with us as we go through the holiday season, and specifically Thanksgiving. To remember the things that we've done, and then to look forward to the things that we will do in the future. And here is Remember Me from the Remember Me Quilt.
That this quilt project has a purpose to change gun violence.
Right.
So if you lost a loved one,
right,
we would really love to add them on one of our next quilts.
All right.
If you would like to piece a quilt, the next quilt's going to be pieced by the General Henry Dearborn Historical Quilt Society.
All right.
And then we'll be looking for the next one after that.
All right.
If you want to give a donation,
mm-hmm.
or if you want a presentation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we present to a church group, but maybe six people in that church group belong to Kiwanis or another organization,
right,
or they own a business and they ask us to come out. It's all word of mouth.
All right.
So here's the best way to reach me, and you can get more information.
Okay.
And that is Let me start over.
Okay.
313-434-8616. If you want to see more and see the quilts, please go to our website. Okay. And the website will can get you to Facebook. But
that
the
was one of the questions I had written down. Go ahead.
Yeah. The website, www.rememberme.quiltproject.org. And that's real easy to remember. And when you go there, you can get to the Facebook and other things.
All right. All right. 2 years old, what do you see yourself a year from now?
We have some really poignant things happen to us, and it makes us want to have that happen.
All right.
We were just at Messiah Church for Fallen Angels Night.
Right.
Charles Duff was there, and he was presenting, and he turned and pointed to the four quilts on the altar, and he said, "We need to work until we don't have more people to put on quilts."
Okay.
So, yeah, that is one. The second thing is we have really high hopes because this quilt project is so impactful that it will be replicated in other states.
All right.
When we talk about, yeah, we can make a difference in Michigan,
mm-hmm.
but we don't want to make a difference in Michigan. We want to make a difference in the nation so we
right.
can change it. That's the same thing I'm talking about with groups
right.
all being involved. We need this project replicated in other states so
all
that...
Right.
Together we can make change, not just a difference.
All right, very good. There's a poem that you have.
It is.
Okay.
Sometimes I have a hard time finishing it.
All right.
But every event that we do, we end with a poem because it represents what the project is about, what the families feel, and what all the people, all the volunteers, we would not survive without our volunteers. It's called I Am a Person. It's dedicated to the families of the victims of gun violence. I was a person, shot down not to be. I was a person, please don't forget me. I was a person with a loving family. I was a person, please don't forget me. I was a person, a future not to be. I was a person, please don't forget me. I am a person, not a number you see. I am a person, please don't forget me. I am a person on a quilt for all to see. I am a person, you will remember me. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And that was Sandy North from the
Remember Me Quilt Project of Michigan.
Okay. And if you want to get further information, you can contact her again and give the last time, give your telephone number.
Sure. 313-434-8616. And thank you for having us on the station.
And thank you very much. And you have been listening to Impact at WHFR Radio. You are listening to WHFR Dearborn 89.3. This is Betty Daniels from Impact saying good afternoon.
My moment now.
This pre-recorded program does not reflect the views of WHFR, its staff, Henry Ford College, and its staff.
This is DC from the Zone Radio, wishing everybody a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
And you're listening to WHFR Dearborn. Old guys and dolls out there, you're at the malt shop with Daddy G here in WHFR, and we're going back to the 50s and the 60s. So hang those fuzzy dice on the rearview mirror, grab your favorite squeeze, and head on down to the malt shop, where the jukebox is playing, and the kids are dancing. And here we are, back in the 50s.
Jim Daddy.